Masechet Eduyot Perikhe Mishnah Vav. Mishnah says, Akavya ben Mahalalel ha'id arba'ad devarim. This sage, Akavya ben Mahalalel, he gave testimony about four different topics that the rabbis at the time disputed. Amru lo, Akavya hazor becha be'arba'ad devarim shahita omer. The rabbis told them, Akavya, if you take back your opinion about these four topics that you were quoting in a tradition from the earlier rabbis, we'll make you the Av Bet Din, the second in command to the Jewish people. Amar lahen mutavli lihikare shote kol yamai velo le'asot sha'a hat rasha'a lifnei hamakom. Answered Akavya, it's better for me to be called a shote, a fool, my whole entire life, and not to become a rasha, a wicked person, for one moment by rejecting the mesorah, the tradition that I received from the previous generation. So I'm not going to take it back. And even if I did want to take back my opinion, I would never take the position of Av Bet Din, because people would then talk about me and say that I reversed my opinion only because I wanted the position of authority and not because I thought it was the right thing. So the first two things that Akavya argued with the rabbis on because of the tradition that he had, first one we'll talk about is sara'at. With sara'at, which is a certain skin affliction that a person gets with a discoloration of the skin, that's a nega. And then there's usually a hair that grows on that spot in order to confirm that it's sara'at. The only time a white hair would confirm that a person is sara'at is if the hair grew after the nega already appeared. If the hair was white already beforehand, then the sign is not a sara'at. It doesn't prove that it is sara'at. But he, when talking about a certain situation, also included it in the fact that it's sara'at. Hu haya mitame se'ar ha'pekuda. If there was a white patch of skin affliction on a person's body, and there was a white hair that was left from a previous occurrence of sara'at, that there was a previous nega, then the hair grew and turned white, and then the nega disappeared and then returned, but that same white hair was still there. Akavya said that the new nega was a confirmed sara'at because the white hair was left over from a previous nega. So even though generally if the hair was there before the nega was there, we would say it's not sara'at. In this unique situation, since it was from a previous nega, it's like it was left over in order to confirm that this one as well is indeed sara'at. Vidam Hayarok, he also said that if there was a discharge of yellow blood from a woman that is considered to be nida blood, and therefore she is teme'ah. But the rabbis argued and said that in both of these cases, if the case of the hair that was there from a previous case of sara'at that grew on the same spot as the nega, and a woman who bleeds yarok, yellow blood, that both of these cases are tahor. The next case has to do with a bechor animal, the firstborn male animal, is given as a gift to the Kohen. He brings it to Beit HaMikdash and slaughters and eats the meat over there. If there's a mum, if there's a blemish, and he can't bring it as a korban, it's still given to the Kohen. He could slaughter it wherever he wants and enjoy the meat. But the rest of the animal, he's not allowed to work the animal or shear the wool off of it. That would be a problem on a deoraita level. But after the slaughter happens, he's allowed to take the wool. At that point in time, it's permitted for him to take the wool. Here we'll have a machloket about what about wool that fell off earlier during the lifetime of the Bechor. When the Bechor is eventually slaughtered and its wool becomes allowed, does that also allow the earlier wool that fell off of the animal? B'hu haya matir se'ar Bechor ba'al mum she'nashar. Akavya would also allow benefit from hair that fell off of a blemished Bechor while the animal was still alive. V'niho b'halon, which the Kohen who owned it, he took and he put the hair away for safekeeping. And then he slaughtered the animal afterwards. But the rabbis prohibited having benefit from the hair that fell out from during the Bechor's lifetime in order to make sure that Kohanim didn't keep the Bechor alive, to make sure that wool kept on falling off. They wouldn't allow any of the hair that fell off earlier on when the blemished animal was slaughtered later on. They said that a person should slaughter it immediately, right away. The fourth mahlokah will be about a sota woman who was suspected of having an adulterous relationship while she was married. Here we'll have a mahlokah about two types of women if they drink the sota waters in the Beit HaMikdash. Hu haya omer en mashkin lo et hagiyoret velo et hashivcha hamishuhreret. Akavya ben Mahalalel said, we don't give the convert woman or the freed Kanaani slave woman who was married and went into seclusion with the man other than her husband after she was warned not to, we do not give them to drink. But the rabbis disagree. Hachamim omrim mashkin. Hachamim say, no, we do give them to drink. This is all the machloket about the pasuk where it says that after the kohen is going to make the woman swear, and the kohen tells the woman that the shivu'ah has to happen betoch amech, amongst your people. By the fact that it says amongst your people, it means that she has to be born into the Jewish nation, according to Akavya ben Mahalalel. But the Hachamim say no. It's not talking about that she has to be born a Jew, but it's saying that her current nation, as long as she's Jewish, this would apply to her. We'll now have the support for the Hachamim's position and the back and forth between Hachamim and Akavya. Amru lo. Say the Hachamim to Akavya. There was once a situation with a woman named Karkemit who was a freed Kanaani slave. They wanted to take her to Yerushalayim to drink. And Shemayan Avtalion, who was the greatest Hachamim of the generation, gave her water to drink, the Sota waters. And therefore we see from here that you do give the Sota water to a Shivha Meshuchredet in order for her to drink, even or to a convert. Amar Lahem Duguma Hishkuha. Say Akavya, it's not a proof because the sota waters were only given to her because they were just like her. Shemaya ve'Avtalion were converts themselves. And even though technically she wasn't supposed to drink, they understood the law differently and that she could drink because of their bias, because of the fact that they themselves were converts. They weren't born Jews, so they wanted to treat her a certain way. The rabbis didn't like this response. They thought it was disrespectful to Shemaya ve'Avtalion. V'niduhu umet b'niduyo. And the rabbis then didn't like this insult, they excommunicated Akavya. They put him in Nidui for saying this. He died while he was in that state, and eventually the Bet Din stoned his coffin. But Rabbi Yehuda is going to argue on that. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Chasve Shalom, she Akavya nitnada. Says Rabbi Yehuda, Chasve Shalom, heaven forbid that anyone should say that Akavya was placed in Nidui. She'en azara nini'elet bifne kol adam Yisrael, behochoma ubirat het ke Akavya ben Mahalalel. On Erev Pesach, we have the entire Jewish people gathered in the temple courtyard, and the temple courtyard, the doors didn't close on anyone in the entire Jewish people who was as great in wisdom and in yirat het, fear of sin, as Akavya. In other words, there was no one his level. Nobody was his equal. So it's not possible to say that someone on that level of chokhmah and hasidut could ever have spoken in such a disrespectful way about Shemaya ve'Avtalion. So who was the one that was placed in excommunication? Elazar ben Hanoch. It was Elazar ben Hanoch who didn't listen to the decree of the Hachamim, where they said there are situations where a person's hands could become tameh even though the rest of his body remains tahor. So he started to argue with the rabbis and he didn't listen to them about that. When he died, the Bet Din sent people to put a stone on his coffin. Tells us that anybody who was excommunicated and died while he was excommunicated, the Bet Din stones his coffin.